Here in New England, the cradle of America, the Pilgrims landed. The shot heard round the world was fired, and early Americans fought for and won the freedom we each enjoy today. Here were established America's first churches, its first courts of law, and its first state board of education, established in 1837 in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Horace Mann, later to become known as the father of public education, was selected as this board's first secretary. He believed that the goal of the schools should be to provide every child with a, quote, straight, solid pathway by which he could walk directly up from the ignorance of an infant to a knowledge of the primary duties of a man, and could acquire a power and an invincible will to discharge them, end quote. In no other nation in recorded history has education been so widely available to those who desire to improve themselves. And the value of education is recognized in America as perhaps no other country in the world. Our educational system represents an investment of many billions, and the 100 million textbooks we annually provide our schools cost the parents and taxpayers of this country $300 million each year. Americans consider the education of our children among our country's greatest assets, for education better equips a person to intelligently exercise the rights and responsibilities that free men and women possess. Education is a vital part of our national heritage, a heritage handed down by such patriots as Thomas Jefferson, who set these high standards for education. Quote, "To develop the reasoning faculties of our youth, enlarge their minds, cultivate their morals, and instill into them the precepts of virtue and order," end quote. A challenge that America's schools have traditionally met. In schools such as this, and this, and here, among the bricks and stones and books that make up our nation's colleges and universities. Into our nation's schools, American parents confidently send their youth, our future presidents, governors, senators, and even Supreme Court justices. In America's schools is where the minds, and to a great extent the morals, of tomorrow's America are being molded. And here is the result. Here is an example of today's academic freedom. During the recent free speech movement, the occupant of this police car was imprisoned overnight on the University of California, Berkeley campus by a crowd of over 500 campus hoodlums. More products of our tax-supported institutions of higher learning, disrupting the orderly proceedings of the House Committee on Un-American Activities. This button, with the shocking slogan, "If it moves, fondle it," is typical of those being worn openly on campus by some of the students at Stanford University. They are distributed by the Stanford Sexual Rights Forum and the Stanford Friends of Civil Liberties. Misfits, just more extreme examples of fun-loving students expressing their individuality. There are those who scoff at the parents and taxpayers who have expressed concern over such recent student activities. But Mr. J. Edgar Hoover, director of the FBI, had this to say in the February 1966 edition of the Law Enforcement Bulletin. Quote, "The American college student today is being subjected to a bewildering and dangerous conspiracy, perhaps unlike any social challenge ever before encountered by our youth. On many campuses, he faces a turbulence built on unrestrained individualism, repulsive dress and speech, outright obscenity, disdain for moral and spiritual values, and disrespect for law and order," end quote. Today in America, over 53 million students attend school at some level. This is an entire generation of young Americans who cannot help but to be greatly influenced by the things they observe on campus, their teachers, and the textbooks they use. Americans have great respect for the teachers of their youth, and most of them find it difficult to believe that anything as fearsome or as brazen as the rewriting of textbooks to further certain ideological goals could happen here. For who would want certain textbooks rewritten? California U.S. Congressman Charles Teague has pointed out that, quote, "The Russian communists adopted this method many years ago. The communists omit from textbooks references to ideas, incidents, and individuals not in favor with the ruling regime," End quote. One of the most important long-range communist goals in America has been to get control of the schools, use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda, soften the curriculum, put the party line in textbooks. Put the party line in textbooks. The Building America series was exposed years ago in the 8th report of the California Senate Investigating Committee on Education as containing many articles written by authors who were affiliated with Communist Front organizations. And in the same report, the textbook American Democracy Today and Tomorrow was singled out as containing reading lists which recommended 28 authors who were members of Communist Front organizations, cited as subversive by the House Committee on Un-American Activities. The exposure of these slanted books did not solve the problem, for there continues to be a flood of highly biased new textbooks submitted for adoption to various state education agencies each year. How do such textbooks come to be written? Who writes them? And what do they say? 6 University of California professors were recently selected to make evaluations of the most widely used history books in California, particularly from the standpoint of their treatment of Negroes. Their report, a 5-page collective critique titled The Negro in American History Textbooks, provided guidelines for rewriting history according to new specifications. Land of the Free, a highly controversial 8th-grade history book written to these new specifications, was adopted on May 13, 1966, by the California State Curriculum Commission. These new guidelines for rewriting history do not apply to just the state of California. The Pasadena, California Star News reported that Land of the Free has been adopted without change in Cleveland, Milwaukee, Denver, Kansas City, New York City, and Philadelphia, as well as the state of California. And Newsweek magazine added Washington, D.C. and Detroit to the list where this textbook, written to new guidelines of history, is welcome. Land of the Free, printed on fine quality paper with large, excellent type, artistic layouts, and many illustrations in vivid colors, has great eye appeal. But it was the text that caught the eye of the press. The headlines were big and bold. Land of the Free, a stormy look at United States history. New history textbook gets severe criticism. Textbook uproar delays action on budget bill. New charges develop over history book. Slanted textbook attacked. Textbook firm denies state aides hold stock. In a story headlined, Belated Text Tells of Negro History, the communist publication, The People's World, of April 4, 1966, left little doubt of its approval of this rewritten history textbook. Why was Land of the Free adopted for use in California schools, even though Dr. Henry McPherson, a member of the California State Curriculum Commission, which approved the text, admitted that, quote, Curriculum Commission members were aware the book is slanted and biased, end quote. Since this 5-pound, 658-page textbook represents a record $14.5 million order and is published for use in all 50 of the states, let us examine Land of the Free as an example of what is being taught to young Americans in classrooms across the nation. Land of the Free was written by UCLA professor John W. Coey, University of Chicago professor John Hope Franklin, and Ernest R. May of Harvard University. Professor John W. Coey is best known of these authors, and his background should be of interest to all parents and taxpayers. In 1950, Professor Coey was fired from the University of California in Los Angeles when he refused to sign the oath requiring all state employees, quote, to swear or affirm that he does not advocate or belong to an organization that advocates the overthrow of the U.S. government by force or violence, and also to swear or affirm that he will support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the state of California against all enemies, foreign and domestic. End quote. Professor Coey is also a prominent member of the American Association of University Professors. This group is well known for its opposition to loyalty oaths and its support of the right of admitted communists to teach on college campuses. Thus, it is not surprising to find Professor Coey signing a clemency petition in behalf of Carl Braden and Frank Wilkinson, both identified as communist agents in sworn testimony by FBI undercover agents. A few of the criticisms leveled against Land of the Free include too much trivia, espousing of prejudicial ideas, downgrading of American heroes, upgrading of radicals and communists, careless treatment of American historical documents, promotion of one world government, suggested supplementary reading of books by communist authors, inaccuracies, gaps, and glaring omissions in American history. California Assemblyman Charles J. Conrad is one of the many prominent people who has leveled specific charges against Land of the Free. He recently charged, quote, "The authors virtually ignore whole periods in our nation's history, apparently because the authors dislike the political philosophy of those times. On the other hand, whole pages are devoted to trivia." End quote. Assemblyman Conrad pointed out that a whole page is devoted to a poem about the boll weevil. This is more space than Land of the Free devotes to the sacrifices of heroic Americans in the military campaigns of World War I, World War II, and the Korean War combined. Land of the Free, a textbook of American history, devotes two whole pages to the poem Casey at the Bat, but gives less than one half page of information concerning Presidents Harding, Coolidge, and Hoover. President Dwight D. Eisenhower, except for several brief references, rates just one paragraph in Land of the Free. That paragraph is in A Panic About Security, a two-page denunciation of the United States Senate's investigation into the communist infiltration of our federal government. Even while American youths die in the swamps of Southeast Asia, in A Panic About Security, Land of the Free belittles the justified concern of many Americans over the threat of communist aggression. While describing Hitler's invasion and occupation of the western portion of Poland in September 1939, Land of the Free fails to mention the infamous Hitler-Stalin Pact, which allowed Russia to seize the eastern portion of Poland. This pact provided the protection Germany needed for its eastern border, allowing its full military might to be concentrated to the west against France and England. The brutalities of Hitler's Nazism and Mussolini's fascism are rightly condemned, but little significance is attached to the communist enslavement of the peoples of Russia, Byelorussia, Ukraine, East Poland, Northern Romania, Southern Finland, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, Bulgaria, Tanutava, East Prussia, Romania, Southern Sakhalin, Mongolia, Hungary, Czechoslovakia, East Germany, China, North Vietnam, Tibet, Cuba, Gabon, Ghana, Guinea, Algeria, West New Guinea, Laos, and Zanzibar. And no mention whatsoever is made of the brutal communist suppression of the heroic efforts of the Hungarian freedom fighters when, in 1956, they attempted to throw off the yoke of communist oppression. Another glaring omission is that there are no figures giving the loss of American lives at Pearl Harbor or in the war against the Japanese Empire. Yet, Land of the Free lists the number of casualties inflicted on the Japanese at Hiroshima. And America's development and use of the atomic bomb is portrayed in terms to make it appear barbaric and inhuman. Land of the Free concludes its report on the atomic bomb with, quote, "Americans of today will also be remembered as the people who made a weapon that could wipe out mankind. We not only made it, we used it." End quote. Downgrading of American heroes is a frequent criticism of Land of the Free. Here, on page 130, the authors describe an important event in American history in these words, quote, "This mob scene, showing the hijacking of the British ships in Boston Harbor, has come down in history under the more cheerful name the Boston Tea Party, end quote. Throughout Land of the Free, scant notice is given to any of the men who have defended this nation in wartime. General Douglas MacArthur merits but 26 words, and Admiral Chester W. Nimitz, who commanded the largest naval force ever assembled in all history, is not even mentioned. Nathan Hale, who had but one life to give for his country, is ignored completely. Throughout Land of the Free, the authors point to selected Americans as those who made, quote, the stand for freedom, end quote. Not one military man, Army, Navy, Marine, or Air Corps is so honored. The Los Angeles Herald Examiner, in an editorial of June 12, 1966, finds this fault with Land of the Free. Quote, the respected Booker T. Washington is given but two paragraphs in this history. He urged Negroes to quietly try to better themselves by learning trades, starting businesses, and improving their education. But William E. Du Bois, NAACP founder, another Negro leader who at the age of 93 applied for membership and joined the Communist Party, is given lavish coverage in at least two lengthier articles. The W.E.B. Du Bois Club, named after him, has been declared by the Justice Department to have been created and controlled by the Communist Party. This book ignores this fact. End quote. W.E.B. Du Bois is glorified in Land of the Free with no mention that Du Bois, all his life a communist agitator, renounced his American citizenship and officially joined the Communist Party of the USA. Instead, Land of the Free tells the students that W.E.B. Du Bois compiled a brilliant record at Harvard and contributed to American culture. Rosa Parks is recommended in Land of the Free, along with W.E.B. Du Bois, as one of the people to remember. It was Rosa Parks who sparked the 1956 Montgomery bus boycott, which brought Martin Luther King to national prominence. In a textbook supposedly dealing in facts, it seems strange that the authors, while portraying King as a great asset to the Negro people, ignore the documented fact that Martin Luther King was a prominent participant in the seminar held over Labor Day weekend in 1957 at the Highlander Folk School, a communist training center in Tennessee. In addition to many such oversights, the authors expose their willingness to mislead America's youth by presenting such statements as, quote, it was an American who came back from Russia and reported, I have seen the future and it works, end quote. Without revealing that the American referred to is the notorious communist Lincoln Steffens. While conveniently omitting this important fact, Land of the Free recommends that eighth grade students read the autobiography of this communist. Here, under Enjoyable Books, a supplementary reading list. To be better prepared to do their part in preserving this land of freedom, students need a thorough understanding of the basic documents of our nation's history. How do the authors of Land of the Free treat these historical and priceless documents? Americans treasure their religious freedom very highly, but the Mayflower Compact, the first American historical document dealing with religion, doesn't even rate a quote. And nowhere in Land of the Free is there a printed or even legible and complete copy of the Declaration of Independence. Only a few phrases from this precious document are quoted. And among the key phrases omitted is this self-evident truth, quote, that men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, end quote. This new textbook of rewritten history does not include a single quotation from such moving documents as Washington's inaugural address, Washington's farewell address, Lincoln's inaugural address, or from the famous speeches of that great American patriot Daniel Webster. Incredible as it may seem, nowhere in Land of the Free is there even a mention of the Pledge of Allegiance to our nation's flag. But we do find an entire page devoted to a letter written by Bartolomeo Vanzetti, a convicted murderer and anarchist, which Land of the Free describes as, quote, one of the most moving documents in American history, end quote. California Assemblyman John Collier, in a revealing statement about Land of the Free, charges, quote, "This textbook is slanted to the political philosophy of a one-world government," end quote. Assemblyman Collier called attention to this photograph of the United Nations building, which is captioned, "The United Nations, Trustee for Humanity." And he went on to point out that, quote, "In the United Nations are many communist countries and their satellites suppressing freedom for millions," end quote. In discussing loyalty oaths, the authors of Land of the Free tell eighth graders that, quote, "Such practices narrow the freedom once understood to be guaranteed by the Bill of Rights," end quote. The Industrial Post of May 5th, 1966, observed, "This certainly appears to be a warped version of the intent of the Bill of Rights." Dr. Henry V. Whitty, noted newspaper columnist, points out that, quote, "The consuming purpose of the book appears to be to develop within the child a feeling of self-incrimination or guilt because of injustices, repeated page after page throughout the entire book, inflicted upon the Indian, the immigrant, and particularly the Negro by his forefathers. The entire book oozes with negativism," end quote. Previously referred to, California Assemblyman John Collier has stated flatly that Land of the Free is, quote, "a politically slanted propaganda textbook, not a true American history book," end quote. America's parents and taxpayers have always believed that history books contain only historical facts presented and supported by documented evidence. Land of the Free is but one example of how authors can and do write into the context of historical events their own personal political bias, prejudices, and beliefs. And where better to use this rewritten history than in a classroom with a captive audience of susceptible 13 and 14-year-olds? Lenin, the master strategist of communist world revolution, said, quote, "Youth will decide," end quote. And Stalin later declared that, quote, "If we can effectively kill the national pride and patriotism of just one generation, we will have won the country," end quote. Mr. J. Edgar Hoover recently issued this warning, quote, "The successful communist exploitation and manipulation of youth and student groups throughout the world today are a major challenge which free world forces must meet and defeat," end quote. This battle to capture and control the minds of American youth is being waged at this very moment while you are viewing this film. The outcome of this battle may well depend on how you react. To help ensure that the communist goal of capturing the minds of America's youth is not realized, Americans must insist that only factual and unslanted textbooks be used in the classrooms of our schools. Examine the textbooks that are being used in the classrooms in your area. If you find passages or portions that seem to misrepresent the facts as you know them, go directly to the school authorities and ask for a thorough explanation. Textbooks are adopted in many ways. They may be approved by elected or appointed officials of local boards, state boards of education, curriculum commissions, or even interstate compacts. Find out about the procedure used and the laws governing the use of education materials in your area. And then join with others who share your concern over this vicious and diabolical campaign to capture the minds of America's youth. Your help is needed now, if the United States of America is to remain truly the land of the free.
This message from Parents for Local Control of Education should be of special interest to California parents and taxpayers. The procedure for the adoption of a school textbook in California is established by law, and every textbook submitted for adoption must follow this same procedure as did Land of the Free. The proposed textbook is first submitted to the California State Curriculum Commission. Here it is supposed to be examined and evaluated on the basis of clarity, balance, and overall quality. The Curriculum Commission then submits the book and its recommendation to the California State Board of Education. The men and women who serve on this board review the proposed textbook and the Curriculum Commission's evaluation and recommendation. It is then their task to either approve or reject the book for use in the schools of California. In their hands rests the responsibility to protect our children from biased and slanted textbooks. The Governor of California appoints the members of the State Board of Education, and on today's board are William Norris, Mrs. Talcott Bates, Dr. Daniel Collins, Dorman Commons, Bishop Gerald Kennedy, Ben Scott, Milton Schwartz, Dr. Miguel Montes, Mrs. Seymour Matheson, and Thomas Braden, President of the California State Board of Education. The controversial Mr. Braden's exploits have been in the headlines on many occasions, and his record is well known to most Californians. It was Mr. Thomas Braden and the other members of our State Board of Education who gave final approval to Land of the Free, the textbook you have seen in this film. Governor Edmund G. Brown chose each of the men and women on the State Board of Education and must share the blame for their adoption of a textbook that has been labeled as, quote, a politically slanted propaganda textbook, not a true American history book, end quote. Even after a textbook is adopted, taxpayers' funds must be appropriated for its purchase. The California Assembly Ways and Means Committee, with Republicans Hale Ashcraft, Frank Bellotti, John Collier, Charles Conrad, and Frank Lannerman opposing, and Democrats Robert Crown, Pauline Davis, Leroy Green, Bert Hansen, Joseph Kinnick, Charles Myers, and Gordon Winton Jr. approving, voted to appropriate the money to purchase Land of the Free. Land of the Free has already been adopted for use by our school children in the eighth grade. California parents and taxpayers will have the opportunity to show their disapproval or approval of this slanted, biased textbook on Tuesday, November 8th, when they cast their ballots either against or for those elected officials who must share the responsibility for this book of rewritten history, so inappropriately named Land of the Free.